no path. We are a multiplicity of potential selves, like multifaceted gems with many different aspects, each waiting for its moment to shine. We tend to unconsciously identify with whichever one of our multiple selves lights up, thereby assuming the driver's seat in any given moment. Each time an internal or external trigger causes us to quantum jump, in no time at all, from one self or identity pattern to another, the whole world around us appears to change also, as if we have entered a parallel universe without knowing it. We tend not to notice this sudden change, because from the viewpoint of the new self's perspective, the world that we find ourselves in, which is our new self's projection and a reflection of ourselves, seems perfectly natural. There is often very little associative continuity between these different selves, which is why their abrupt quantum shifts are rarely noticed. The world of the previous self that had moments before been in the driver's seat is typically forgotten about as if it had never existed. It is as though each of ourselves comes with its own corresponding world. The phenomena of quantum jumps is one of the strangest goings-on in the quantum realm. Not only is the path of quantum objects unknowable, but quantum objects can't even be conceived of as having a path in the normal sense of the word. The very notion of having a path comes into question. Talking about the whole idea of following a single path, Wheeler simply writes, meaningless. Schrödinger writes, "For we are so used to thinking that at every moment between the two observations, the first particle must have been somewhere. It must have followed a path, whether we know it or not." All talk about paths, however, is a hangover from classical thinking and traditional ways of visualizing the universe. Quantum particles follow a pathless path, which at least on the surface sounds similar to the pathless path of spirituality, echoed by innumerable mystics throughout the ages. Quantum entities appear and disappear, shifting dimensions as we do when we are born and when we die. To quote physicist Max Born, "No language that lends itself to visualizability can describe quantum jumps." These quantum objects can be at point A in one moment, and, as if by magic, instantaneously be at point B, without having traversed a path between these different locations. Bohr referred to a quantum jump as a process transcending the frame of space and time. It appears that the quantum entity suddenly flickered out of existence, passed through a limbo of no time and no space, and then reappeared somewhere else with no physical process connecting these two states of being. Quantum leaps characterize the discontinuous movement seemingly intrinsic to nature. Indulging in an unconscious habit of classical thought, we assume that we can ascertain the identity of a subatomic particle by keeping the particle under continuous observation. Addressing this very issue, Schrödinger writes, "This habit of thought we must dismiss. We must not admit the possibility of continuous observation. Observations are to be regarded as discrete, disconnected events. Between them, there are gaps that we cannot fill in." Nature herself seems to reject continuous description. Wheeler uses the image of the great smoky dragon to illustrate the same point. The head and the tail of the dragon can be seen, but its body, which seemingly connects its two ends, is obscured by smoke. It is the same with a photon. For example, we may know about its emission and detection, but what happens in between is a mystery. We have been trying to follow the motion of individual quantum entities such as photons through time and space, while all along these entities have no real existence in time and space. It is time and space that exist through and by virtue of these entities. Outside of and transcendent to space and time, photons, which make up light, embrace all of space and time in one singular, eternal, resonant embrace. This is to say that light, from the perspective of an observer within space-time, appears to be traveling at the speed of light through and inside of the very space and time that it is at the same time creating. In so doing, light can be seen as weaving the structure of the space-time continuum from both inside and outside as one inseparable and continuous waveform. Space-time constitutes the phenomenal realm, whereas quantum objects exist in the noumenal realm outside of the confines of space-time. Space and time originate from a deeper dimension of existence that is not in space-time, but rather informs space-time. Sir James Jeans writes, "The ultimate processes of nature neither occur in nor admit of representation in space and time. Quantum physics compels us to think of the creator of the universe as working from a vantage point outside of space and time, just as the artist is outside their canvas. Space and time, what Heisenberg refers to as basic forms of human imagination, don't exist in and of themselves, at least in the way we've been conditioned to imagine them, but are anthropomorphic concepts, constructs of the mind. This is consonant with Immanuel Kant's description of space and time in his seminal book, The Critique of Pure Reason, as pure forms of intuition, by which he means that space and time are primarily structures of consciousness that provide the underlying framework for our perceptions, not objectively existing conditions in the outside world. According to Kant, sensory information is organized in our minds via an a priori, pre-existing, intuitive representation of space and time that lies deep within our consciousness. To the extent that we are asleep to the fact that space and time are merely constructions of the mind, we become conditioned to experience these constructs as if they existed outside of ourselves in this seemingly outer world. Relating to the world in this way is to become entranced by a false appearance, arising from the mind itself, which hides the real source of space and time as being within our minds. Wheeler writes, "The concepts of space-time and time itself are not primary, but secondary ideas in the structure of physical theory. These concepts are valid in the classical approximation." In the world of the quantum, Wheeler continues, "These concepts have neither meaning nor application. There is no space-time." It should be noted that in creating time and space and then thinking that our creation exists outside of us, we are concurrently creating the illusion that we exist as a separate self within a time and space of our own making. To quote Einstein, "Time and space are modes by which we think, and not conditions in which we live." Space and time are like the elements of a language used by an observer to describe their environment. As Leibniz put it, time and space are not things, but orders of things. Our minds employ the categories of space and time to inform and make sense of our experience, similar to how our dreaming mind displays images and unfolds its experiences in a space and time of its own making. Our perceptions of space and time in a dream exist only to the extent that we can conceive them. As if our universe is an immense dream space, all points in space and time are ultimately interconnected to all other points via the dreamer. Our minds have a mysterious power to shape our world that is not limited by the categories of space and time. Jung writes, "In man's original view of the world, as we find it among primitives, space and time have a very precarious existence. They become fixed concepts only in the course of his mental development, thanks largely to the introduction of measurement. In themselves, space and time consist of nothing. They are hypostatized concepts born in the discriminating activity of the conscious mind, and they form the indispensable coordinates for describing the behavior of bodies in motion. They are, therefore, essentially psychic in origin. Through a function of and originating within our minds, space-time is a crucial factor in the equation of our universe. Space and time are not external parameters. They are not determinate givens outside of phenomena, but are an integral aspect of phenomena." To quote Wheeler, "Space-time is an important part of the action, not just the place where action occurs." We have been conditioned to think of space as the stage in which the drama of physics is performed. Quantum physics is pointing out that the stage is itself one of the performers. In essence, the ideas of space and time are creations of the mind that serve as the screen upon which we project the contents of the depths of our mind, both conscious and unconscious. Being constructs of consciousness, as well as the receptacles for its projections, space and time serve as consciousness's own way of providing a context for its contents so that they can be revealed, brought to light, reflected upon, and contemplated by a consciousness that is forever getting to know itself in new ways. Man's coming to awareness, to quote philosopher Jean Gebser, is inseparably bound to his consciousness of space and time. It is becoming increasingly harder to deny that physics, the science of the nature of the physical world, cannot be distinguished from the study of the structures of our own consciousness. This realization is so hard to see because it is so obvious.